This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out with Joe, Pip, and Davin at Davin's Den. Let's keep the light stuff going. Let's do some Nazi news, shall we?
Awesome.
Nazis always lighten it up. This was Joe's blog, so we'll let Joe give the first take on it. As soon as I can find the bumper for it. Where the hell is the bumper for Nazi news? Where are you, Nazis?
Don't tell me that you've lost the
button. No, I got it.
Nazi bumper.
I got it. We'll play the Nazi theme. All right, here we go.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
As debate over divisive concepts bill rages on across the state, one of the bill's primary sponsors is getting some additional attention. By the way, this is Ohio. After her interview with News 5, State Representative Sarah Fowler Arthur, Republican from Ashtabula, spoke with the station early March about legislation, and some of her comments are raising concerns. House Bill 327 could change the way topics considered controversial are taught in public institutions. After an interview with State House reporter Morgan Trow, News 5 is revisiting that conversation with a reaction from educators and leaders from Ohio's Jewish community. I can tell you, they're not going to be thrilled.
No.
Before the Zoom interview with Representative Fowler Arthur, News 5 requested that the representative turn her camera on, and she declined to do so. She said, "You're not going to tube in me." After 23 minutes of the Jeffrey Toobin got caught with his pants down.
Oh, right.
Okay. Bubble.
Well, all right, what do you want me to tell you? After 23 minutes of the interview, Trow asked her, not to drop it, about the financial aspect of the bill. While attempting to talk about funding, she brought up the Holocaust. Why wouldn't you? You know who knows about funding? Jews. Jews know about funding. You know who doesn't like Jews? Nazis. It was not a well-funded organization. Anyway.
You know, it was money well spent. No, no.
You should talk about these atrocities that have happened in history, but you also do have an obligation to point out the value that each individual brings to the table, Fowler Arthur said. The interview with Fowler Arthur left News 5 with questions about some of the statements she made about the Holocaust and how this important part of the world history would be taught under HB 327. After multiple editorial meetings with News 5 team, the interview was shared with the Anti-Defamation League, the Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage. That does sound like it'd be the Museum of Jewish Heritage. The Maltz.
Maltz.
Maltz. Schmaltz. And the Ohio Education Association. "There are moments in our history where there are not two sides to debate," said James Pash, regional director of the Anti-Defamation League. "There is a right side and a wrong side," but those are still fucking two sides.
I know. it was a really badly, I know what they meant, but badly said.
"In the case of the Holocaust, we're talking about state-sponsored mass murder," Dahlia Fisher with the Maltz Museum said. "Here is some of what Fowler Arthur said. What we do not want is for someone to come in and say, well, obviously the German government was right in saying that the Aryan race is superior to all other races, and therefore that they were acting rightly when they murdered hundreds of thousands of people for having different color of skin," the representative said. What?
For having different color of skin? What?
She got her math wrong, too.
I know.
Watch the unedited segment of Trow's interview with Arthur Fowler in the video player. Read the stage direction, asshole.
He said softly.
As he enters from across the room. Oh, you're ruining it!
Slams his hand on the desk.
As the Nazis march to and fro.
You hear the jackboots clicking behind him.
We ruined a perfectly good Nazi story. Pash is concerned that Fowler Arthur is unaware of how many people were murdered and why, and Fisher's worried that the representative believes Judaism is a race. "Judaism is not a race. It's a religion," Fisher said. "The significance of this is that Hitler and the Nazis were the ones that categorized Jews into a race. I would say that if someone was to use that language today, it would be an act of anti-Semitism in a way to categorize Jews as an other in our current times. There's no baseline of even education there that 6 million Jews were systematically murdered and millions of others," Pash said. "I can't think of more important need or call out for the need of increased education about what happened." There's very few things that would be worse than distorting the history of the Holocaust past that. Well, doing it again would be worse. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're listening to it from the perspective of a Jewish person that has gone through the tragedies that took place, fellow Arthur continued. And maybe you listen to it from the perspective of a German soldier. Good times. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Well, it depends which side of the ghetto you're on. Pash and Fisher took a second to breathe after hearing her comment. German soldiers or the Nazis, Pash clarified. Would she feel the same way about, like, 9/11? Does she want the perspective of the hijackers who flew the planes into the buildings? No, because there's moral absolutes, right? And so there aren't two sides to every historical event. After the conversation, News 5 tried to follow up with Fowler Arthur. Trout called, then left voicemails and sent numerous emails to her and her team, detailing the major concerns that the organization brought up. She also texted and even sought her out at the State House, including Tuesday morning at a committee hearing. Fowler Arthur's team refused to do a follow-up interview to allow her to clarify her comments and help the News 5 viewers understand how HB 37 could impact the teaching of subjects like the Holocaust. You've done enough, dear. Thank you. Now you shall be silenced.
Let the adults take over.
Yes, yes. Oh, Joe, big night for you, my friend. One of your political here. Hold on, I'll get to this. But this just reminded me. One of your political heroes is running for Congress. Sarah Palin's running for Congress. I know you're very excited.
I almost slammed into an abutment this morning when I heard the news.
See, there is good news. Two sides to every story.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Now educators are concerned about the potential. I hope she gets it. Oh, I can't wait. Please get it. Please get it. About the potential implications of the unclear bill. When I talk to my colleagues around the state, I say the number one thing that they always say is that they get very frustrated when politicians make decisions about what happens in our classroom and don't trust the judgment of teachers. Don't trust the relationship that exists that is very strong, said Scott DeMauro, president of the Ohio Education Association. Fowler Arthur was obviously on the State Board of Education, was previously on the State Board of Education, but has never participated in public education system as a student or a parent. She was homeschooled and did not attend college. They wouldn't have her.
At first, when I started reading that paragraph about that she didn't participate as a student or an educator, I was like, what now? But then I explained about the homeschooling, and I was like, oh. Okay.
We would call on her, and she just did nothing. Anyway. Each of the organizations News 5 spoke to said they want to keep education in the hands of educators. On Wednesday, Bob Cupp, the Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, responded to a question about fellow Arthur's comments on the Holocaust, saying they were inappropriate remarks. They were uninformed remarks. Okay. This was Joe's blog this week. So, Joe, have at it, sir.
Well, first of all, Sarah Palin has a new slogan. At least I'm not Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, please let these nitwits. Now, I don't want the Republicans getting power because then they'll actually be like on committees and shit.
Okay.
But if the two of them could like fucking bounce around like well-heated protons and neutrons and atoms and shit, I would love to see that. Let these two airheads bounce around fucking Congress. But anyway.
Hi, I'm Sarah Palin. Yes, I'm an asshole. But I'm not as crazy as Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm Sarah Palin, and I endorse this message. Okay, so let's touch base on here. Just the teachings of the Holocaust. It's disturbing to note that a survey was revealed a significant number of millennials and Gen Z can't name a single concentration camp or ghetto, believe that 2 million or fewer Jews were killed, and a concerning percentage believe that Jews caused the Holocaust. That's really that's really something right there where you really need to educate these kids. Now, that's a concerning fact, so much so that New York State Governor Kathy Hochul signed into law the Holocaust Education Bill, mandating schools to put studies of the Holocaust in the curriculum, which is a very good thing. Now, moving into the curriculum, Mr. Pesh said that distorting history of the Holocaust would be terrible. However, it is important to see all sides of the equation and not just trying to rewrite history, but to prevent it from happening again. The perfect example is the German soldier. What made him follow Nazi ideology? What made him carry out what he did? Did he agree with it? Did he have guilt from it? How did he feel about his family and moving on with his family? Now, right now, it's exactly going on with the Russian soldier that's in the Ukrainian war. A lot of these soldiers don't want to be in this war. A lot of the soldiers are not following orders based on the ideology of Russia and Putin. So it's interesting to know how they feel today, how they feel yesterday. The thing about it is that they've had enough of war. Will history note this? We will, you know, and basically that's an important thing. It's not a matter of, it's getting both sides of the story, but it's getting both sides of the story, which what drove Germans to carry out the atrocities that they did? What was in their mind? Because if we see a pattern here happening in other countries, we now know what could happen and possibly save a lot of lives, thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives. So that's why it's important to have both sides. What drove them to that?
Okay. A couple things here. I don't understand why the Holocaust is falling under this controversial topic. Is the Holocaust controversial? I mean, only again with racists. Except for racists, the Holocaust was not controversial. It was a terrible thing. I mean,
yeah.
So I don't think it should fall under this proposed bill. First of all,
no.
This Arthur Fowler is a nitwit in the fact that she obviously doesn't know about the Holocaust, you know, whether it be the amount of people killed or why they were killed. So she's, I mean, really, I mean, listen, all I can tell you is the government is a representative of the people. So we got a lot of stupid people running around. What do you want me to tell you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, to Joe's point, I kind of agree with it. You know, there is value in learning why people think that way. It's what I talked to my daughter about. You know, she is very woke, if you want. Left, if you want, you know, she didn't want to take certain classes because those type of classes tends to be populated by a lot of kids who supported Trump. So that was a reason. I go, you need to come on the road with me and talk to people. I've said it before. You don't have to agree with them, but you need to understand why. And I happen to think right now we're in a part of American history where it's going to be looked at and go, what happened? Why? So I agree with Joe. There is certainly value in learning various sides. And you know what? With the 9/11 terrorists, I want to know about that too. What were they thinking when they were in the madrasas? You know, what's the thought process when they go, nah, we don't need to learn how to land? Like, were some of them scared? Were they all gung-ho? Did they feel pressure? Were they trying to do this for the money for their families that some of them get? Yeah, so I agree with Joe. There's value to it. It just doesn't belong under that bill.
No.
And she's a nitwit.
Yeah.
No, I was actually, you know, I don't mean to say that like I'm surprised, but I was agreeing with the things that Joe was saying, that there is value to looking at the other side. You know, when you have a moral distinction between what you think somebody should have done in a situation and what the other person did, it's a good psychological study to see what were their motivations.
You got to put yourself in their jackboots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, because the key thing about it is, you know, there's just one right side. Well, actually, there is, but you want to understand what made people go along with this wrong ideology.
You don't want history to repeat itself, and part of it is being able to identify early on what the signs are. Hey, we saw this in World War II. This is why people start to believe in this stuff. Got to nip this in the butt. Like I said, we're in a period now of history that I think future generations are going to look on, and it's going to be heavily studied. Why did people behave the way they did? What led to it? What was going on in the country? What was going on in their home lives? You know, why was the country? Why did people look at, because people are looking at the same country in two completely different ways.
Yeah.
What was going on? So I think there's value. Now, I personally do not think that if you never were in a public school, you never had a kid in a public school, you're homeschooled, you have no business being on the State Board of Education.
Absolutely not.
Are you agreeing with me? Or
I agree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. Because you don't know what it's like to be a parent. You don't know what it's like to be at a PTA meeting. You don't know what it's like to wonder what the kids are being taught.
Yeah,
but she has a surface level understanding of how education works, and I mean there is a vast difference between the learning things on a basic, fundamental, factual level, and then being able to do lessons that are higher in the thought process. Just being able to say these are the dates of the war, this is how many people were killed, the factual things that we know. But then to like be able to like synthesize what you know about that with what's happened in other areas of history and be able to apply your knowledge to other situations, being able to you know, evaluate what do I think happened from everything that I just learned. As you go up the levels of the sophistication of learning, then you could have upper level discussions of what do I think of what the other person was thinking. But this broad doesn't even have the basic knowledge, the basic facts involved in it. So she needs to shut up.
Bad spokesman. All right, let's move on to School of Fools. A married same-sex couple in Louisiana was allegedly told their newly adopted daughter could not attend kindergarten at a religious school because of their lifestyle choices. Emily and Jenny Parker said they learned on Saturday they needed to find a new school for their 5-year-old daughter Zoe because their marriage didn't adhere to the teachings at the Bible Baptist Academy in DeQuincy. They told NBC News Wednesday during a phone interview. Because of our lifestyle choices, we wouldn't be a good fit for the school, Jenny Parker, 31, said. They were told during a meeting with a pastor and the school's director. Emily Parker, 28, said during the meeting, only 2 days before the school year was set to begin, the pastor told her Bible Baptist Academy was a religious-based institution that taught more than just academics. She says he told her marriage is between a man and a woman, and only that is what was taught at the school. Zoe attended preschool at the school last year and had many friends there and loved her teachers, the couple said. No one with the Bible Baptist Academy was immediately reached on Wednesday, according to a statement posted on the school's website. At BBA, we are committed to instructing and living in accordance with the teachings of Scripture. We believe that the Bible teaches every life, that every life has value, and that there is dignity in all of us because we have been created in the image of God. The Bible also teaches us to love everyone with the love of God despite their personal choices. We strive to teach this one to the students who attend. We encourage them to show love and compassion to everyone in the school set. As a Baptist Academy, we are also committed to provide an environment that is consistent with the beliefs that we hold. We want our students to not only know our beliefs, but we want them to see them as well. Regarding personal relationships, we hold that those relationships, whether in dating or in marriage, should be between a man and a woman. The school also said in the statement, there are times where our commitment to upholding our Christian values will not line up with the values of other people. This should not be interpreted that we have any hatred or malice towards them. Emily Parker, who is Zoe's biological aunt, adopted the 5-year-old on August 3rd after Zoe's father died at 22 following an accident at his job in September of 2020. The Parkers have been married since 2016. When they were told why their daughter could not attend school at the Bible Baptist Academy, Emily Parker said she was insulted and slightly embarrassed. We've never been confronted so bluntly about our relationship. Our love, our marriage, has always felt natural. Our families have always made us feel like we are two people who love each other. This was a big slap in the face. She added that as a private school, school administrators can apparently determine who can go there. Well, yes. However, they don't get to discriminate quietly, Emily Parker said. The couple said in hindsight they are glad their daughter is not being taught at the Bible Baptist Academy. Since the weekend meeting with school officials, the couple said public and private schools have reached out to them. Jenny Parker said the treatment has not shaken their faith in Christianity. In fact, the opposite occurred. There are good Christians out there. The whole community of DeQuincy has showed us what it is to be a good Christian and to not preach hate like this, she said. They are the reason why we kept the faith. Zoe was enrolled this week in Hamilton Christian School in Lake Charles. You know, it's a really weird situation. I mean, it is a private school. You have to have certain grades or certain, we've seen this before, certain qualifications, certain values to get into the school. I mean, it is a known thing.
Oh, you silly lesbians putting your kids in a Baptist school. Come on, silly lesbians. You knew this was going to happen.
Well, they didn't.
It's
because
it's a private school.
Well, but there are. But she is enrolled in another Christian school. Yeah. And the girl was at the school last year.
A Christian school, but not necessarily a Baptist school. They are tough on the LGBTQ community. And the fact that they were at a private school. Now, I don't like any of this, mind you. But the fact that they were at a private school that's run by Baptists, and they didn't think it was ever going to be an issue that they were lesbians? Well, that was naive.
Okay.
Because those folks don't cotton to the gay folk.
I think we're all starting to agree here. Basically, it is a church. The church has the teaching. That's the teaching they have. Is it right? Do they have the right to do that? However, it's hypocritical. It's not teaching love. And you turn around, well, the church being hypocritical? Of course. You know, they're being hypocritical. And you know what? Look, you know, you're a practicing Jew. You know, I'm a Catholic. I believe if you're a Catholic. Well, not Catholic. I think you're a Protestant. But the thing is that the teachings of the church, I cannot sit here and go, well, I follow the teachings of the church. No, I got a lot of explaining to do when I get upstairs. But so the hypocrisy from both congregation and the church itself is hypocritical. But the basic structure of the teachings that, you know, a man and a woman or a woman can't be married to be together, it's there. It's in stone as the teaching, and the school does have the right to make that decision.
All right. Let's move on. Author James Patterson has apologized
We're boring now.
Well, Pip and I were like talking before the show. It's like we all agree a lot more. We think that not having to do the 2.5 hour drive out here is taking out some of your piss and vinegar.
Yeah, right. I mean, Jesus Christ, 3 weeks ago was a fucking bloodbath. Hour of that show.
We can't have the bloodbath anymore because they have freshly painted walls here.
We'll get some kills. Anyway, author James Patterson has apologized for saying older white writers face just another form of racism, which makes it harder for them to work. The best-selling U.S. writer made his comments to the Sunday Times last week, but following a backlash, he posted an apology, and said he did not actually think white writers suffered racism. I apologize for saying white male writers have trouble finding work is a form of racism, the 75-year-old wrote on Facebook on Tuesday. I absolutely do not believe that racism is practiced against white writers. Please know that I strongly support a diversity of voices being heard in literature, in Hollywood, everywhere. Patterson is one of the world's most successful authors, having sold roughly 450 million books, thrillers, nonfiction, romance novels. Over several decades, he was the best-selling author of adult fiction in the UK in 2020, according to Nielsen Book Research, and was recently announced as the most borrowed author from British libraries for the 14th year in a row. Shakespeare's pissed. His best-known works include the Women's Murder Club novel series and another series about Alex Cross, a black detective and psychologist portrayed by actors Morgan Freeman and Tyler Perry in film adaptations. According to the Sunday Times, Patterson said he worries that it is hard for white men to find writing jobs in film, TV, and theater and publishing. What's that all about? What's the deal with that? Patterson said. Can't you get a job? Yes. Is it harder? Yes. It's even harder for older writers. You don't meet many 52-year-old white males. Where's he
what?
Going?
What now?
Okay. He should go to the nudist colony. He'll meet a bunch of them. Anyway, many people online took umbrage. Umbrage. You know, you can't, can you have umbrage or do you have to take umbrage?
You have to take umbrage.
They took umbrage. Author Keith Boykin, who wrote Race Against Time, The Politics of a Darkening America, noted on Twitter, as recently as 2020, the heads of all five publishing houses were white, and around three-quarters of the published authors are white. But James Patterson thinks they're oppressed, he wrote. Frederick Joseph, author of The Black Friend, on being a better white person, offered, from a black man who has had over 50 rejections of books, all of which are now bestsellers, humble brag, because white editors don't understand them or already have black male authors. Shut up! Dr. Shola Moss, Scrabble score, here you come. Dr. Shola Moss, stop talking! Let me stutter through it, stupid! For the third time, Dr. Shola Moss Shog Bamimu, author of This Is Why I Resist and How to Win in Scrabble, described Patterson's false equivalence of racism as white supremacy personified. Okay. He's missing good old days when white men had all the writing gigs. Yes. yes, okay. Rebecca Carroll, whose memoir was titled Surviving the White Gaze, added, imagine being born in the year Jackie Robinson was the first Major League Baseball player in history. Then growing up to be one of the richest authors in America, talking about the struggles for white men is another form of racism. Artist and cartoonist Xing Yin Kor said Patterson and other celebrities had ridden their waves of privilege far beyond their own skill levels. Hell of a book author Jason Mott was left almost speechless. Okay. You know.
I love it when when somebody says something that you find so ridiculous that you're like, with your mouth hanging open, like what?
You know, when you can almost, if you wanted to, have the debate of is Patterson right or wrong. But then when they give the statistics of the publishing houses and the authors, you go to shut the fuck up, stupid. You can't say that when it's mostly white men. You can't say.
But here's the deal. He is right on these. A lot of you know writers his age are not getting jobs. Now the reason why is because the market for books are basically has changed. So when Dr. Unpronounceable Woman's Name says that he resents that, you know, you have all these white editors. Yeah, you do have white editors, but they have to fit a market which is not going to give him give the author a writing gig. So everybody's got a point here that he, you know, the author's got a right. The other people that were commenting on this are right because, yeah, you know.
Yeah, but also
a lot of African American stories have not been printed, and the authors are white because this is where they're marketing the stories now, which is kind of putting James Patterson getting less gigs. So
James Patterson's doing fine. That's part of the problem. James Patterson's doing fine. You got the guy at the King of the Mountain bemoaning, oh, it's so hard for a white guy to get a gig. Guy sold over 450 million books. He's doing okay. He might not be the guy you want to hear complaining about it.
No.
Well, that too. And also you have where the point is, well, you have a lot of editors that are white. You do. But also they have to sell a product, and they have to sell it to what's popular now. You know, so that's why you have them.
Well, and also there's more competition because now other people are getting to use their voice. So there's all, you know, and people are reading less and there's more competition. So Whitey McWhiteson doesn't get every gig.
He has to calm down.
And if you always look as comics, you can sit and go, you know, we're not getting, you know, the gigs or the newer comics gigs. Yeah, because we're middle-aged. We're white, and that's not what the industry is looking for right now. They're looking for women. They're looking for minorities or somebody that's got a niche. That's the business, you know. What can I tell you, you know? So, yeah, you know, I could say harumph, but as somebody that's been doing this 24 years, it's the business. Get a plan B going, you know?
I don't think he amends his apology either. He's a pretty left-wing guy, I think. You know, considering I think he wrote with like Hillary Clinton and Dolly Parton and Bill Clinton, maybe Bill Clinton too. I think he's a pretty left wing guy, and he's given him the New York Times, and that's a left wing paper. And you know, he's like, oh, hummada, what am I doing?
Yeah, I stepped in. It's like, you know what, James Patterson, vanilla was flavor of the month for year upon year. You know, it's okay if the other flavors get a month.
Hey, you know what, James Patterson, if you know some 52-year-old white men that aren't getting a break, I'm guessing you have some influence. You can get them that writing gig.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
But the thing about it, I know he commented, but, you know, if you come up to me and go, Joe Perry, you're not getting that many gigs. Why? Well, you know, there's been very specific on having an Asian comic, having a girl playing a ukulele, a guy plays a banjo, a guy does this, you know, and I'm just explaining a reality. I'm not going, well, it's bullshit. No, it's where the industry's going. That's what's going to make money. You know, I could just comment on it. I can't call bullshit on it because that's a reality. You know, I got to suck it up, Buttercup. But if they're, oh, well, Joe Curry's against all these comments. No, I'm just mentioning where the industry's going. You know, it is what it is. I was told this when I first started at 2 months. Peter Bale told us it's not a fair business. If you want to do this. If you can't handle it, get out. I was told this my first year in, you know, and for 24 years, you know, that's been the rallying cry. So, you know, so if I got hung out to dry on that, I get pissed off because I'm just commenting on where the industry is right now. I get it. I know why I'm watching TV almost every night.
All right, let's do an outstanding display of spite. I'm excited about this story.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite!
Kind of like that one myself.
All right, here we go, kids. Footage of a groom exposing his bride's affair on their wedding day by playing an X-rated video of her in bed with another man has left the internet in shock. Guests of the newlyweds in China can be seen looking on in horror as a steamy bedroom scene featuring the bride and her new husband's brother-in-law plays out from a projector at the couple's reception. The disgraced woman then throws her bouquet at her husband as she can be heard shouting, did you think I didn't know about this? Yes! Yes, I did!
Yes, I did.
I thought you did not know about this.
Yes. I'm most distressed that you know.
More than I could have imagined. The clip originally went viral in 2019 before the virus went viral in China, but was recently shared again on TikTok where it has clocked almost 6 million views and thousands of comments from outraged viewers. Cheating bride, the video is captioned. Text written over the top of the footage reads, the groom played a video of his wife cheating on him with her pregnant sister-in-law's husband in front of everybody. But the reaction over the groom's act of revenge has left social media users divided. Most were on the man's side, saying the bride got what she deserved. Best revenge in front of all their family and friends, one user commented. Honestly, I am this petty. I would 100% do this, another said. Man stood there knowing the calamity he's about to cause, someone else wrote. Others, however, were confused why the man went through with the wedding. Isn't this at the party, so doesn't that mean they've already said I do? One person said. Why'd he go through with the wedding, another asked. So why did he waste all that money on the wedding, one man wrote. Many tried to explain the movie, stating it's very hard to get deposits back from wedding venues once they're booked. Maybe he found out too late and the wedding needed to be paid for regardless whether they broke it off. Satisfaction, people. Embarrassing her in front of everyone was probably worth it for him. Meanwhile, others turned their attention to the bride, labeling her move to throw her flowers at the groom wild. And she's the one that gets mad at the end. Not her throwing the flowers at him, the audacity. The couple had been together for 2 years and were engaged for 6 months before their big day, Asia One reported. At the time, it was also claimed the bride suffered domestic violence at the hands of the groom and had sought comfort with his sister's husband. However, over time, things evolved into an illicit relationship, and once the groom found out, he decided to humiliate them. All right, so I did. This was one of the polls this week. I asked, should he have shown the video, yes or no? What do you think people said, Pip? Yes,
I think they said yes.
What do you think, Joe? Yes or no? What do you
I would say yes.
70% said yes. This, in my mind, and I can't remember them all, kids, is the most outstandingest, spitiest, juiciest spite we've ever had.
It is the most outstanding.
Would you agree, Joe? The most outstanding.
I would say, yeah, but, you know, looking at both sides of this, number one, I kind of be pissed that, you know, I'm spending $300, on an envelope. I could have watched the ball game today, and I got to sit here, you know, I mean, look, the video's funny, but, you know, I could be better doing better things than watching this woman blow this guy like a circus balloon, you know?
I got to tell you, Joe. I've had a lot of thoughts about this story. The guests who were not directly related to them never crossed my mind. That must be the Scotsman in you. I can't believe I wasted this money.
Joe's always worried about what the German soldier's thinking.
If you go to a wedding, it's like an old joke, but it's so true. It's so true. You go to a wedding, you got the envelope with the money in there, and then you start deducting. You know, when you go in, all right, it's not an open bar. Well, there's about $50 coming out of this wallet. All right. What, we just get a choice of chicken and spaghetti? All right, well, there's another 20. Oh, a movie. Jesus Christ. All righty. Tantalizing, but that's another 50 coming out of the wallet. It's going to be $20 in that fucking wallet when I walk out of there.
Why would there still be 20 at that point?
Gonna be done?
20 was the price of admission for that movie?
Now, here's the deal, though, okay? If I get a rod watching the video, you know, maybe I'll keep 50 in.
Joe's rod is worth $50. There it is.
We were wondering what the price was.
I'll tell you what, I'd rather put 50 on the dildo race.
Yes.
You know what? I mean, I guess if you're one of these people that's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to light it all on fire. I mean, I guess. I don't think I would have the balls to do it. I don't think I could do it. I'd probably be, people who don't deserve to be hurt are going to be hurt. I'd probably be a pussy about it.
I'd like to think that I would have the nerve to do this, but I think that I would be, in real life, listen to me worried about the you know, my stupid brother's ex-wife. I really would back off from doing it because I'd be afraid of hurting people's feelings, but I would just once like to wake up and choose violence and just do it.
I mean, the thing is, now everybody's looking at the bride. Not only did she cheat, fine, with your brother-in-law, your sister's pregnant, and you stooped her husband.
While she's pregnant. I mean, you lowlife.
I mean, wow, you have just torn this family asunder.
She hit the trifecta of cheating hoe. I mean, really, I mean, it's so low. I think that it's just, and she has the nerve to get mad at him.
Now, let me ask you a question. We gave our thoughts. We did the poll on what our fans feel. Based on, who do you think walked away the bigger piece of shit?
Oh, her. She's the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By far. Yep. Because if it was just cheating, then you have a conversation. She cheated with her pregnant sister's husband. The sister didn't do anything to deserve this, as far as we know. Now, there's allegations that the groom was abusive. When you go, all right, well, then maybe she should have cheated. Fine. But you can't cheat with your pregnant sister's husband. You are the you're the biggest piece of crap there.
Yeah, you really went out of your way to pick the worst person that you could have chosen for this. I'm beside myself.
Well, there's two of you now.
There's a little bit on that, you know, like, you know, people need to know what's going on, because if you make the rounds, if the wedding's called off, people want to wonder. Well, you know what? Nobody's wondering now.
You know, that's another good point, Joe. I never thought, like, if you call off the wedding, then you got to answer all these questions. You know what? You figure, you know what? The money's spent. This is worth it, because I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to have to do a presentation for everybody who's wondering what happened. Here you all go. Questions?
I wonder what was supposed to be playing, like pictures of them through the years.
You know, sometimes they do those things, there's some kind of schmaltzy music.
See, I would like the schmaltzy music. I'd like the pictures of them in love. Then you hear, like, you know, where, like, the film. No. No, then, like, all of a sudden where it looks like the film, like, melts. That effect. So you have them walking here. Yeah. Then the film melt and cut to that. I want some production. I'm not owed production. But if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Give me.
I think also the song that we used to introduce the scammer clip or at a scammer section, also that was actually ironically my wedding song, Always and Forever, would just be so apropos to play that section. Because it's such a sensitive, you know, loving, touching song. While this woman and this guy are just fucking and cheating on each other, you know.
And if there weren't sound effects of their lovemaking, I would add that to the soundtrack. I would find some porno that seems to fit the motion and put that in there, because you want to make this as nasty as possible.
I mean, he could have done it before the wedding. He could have called it off.
He could have.
This was a man on a mission. Like.
But what he was saying in the article that he couldn't get the money back.
Well, no, some people said maybe they couldn't get. I don't know. But, you know, he probably think, you know what? Money well spent. I have devastated her family. That family will never be able to. Oh, they're going to call me a piece of shit. That's all right. But their daughter, their sister, their niece, their cousin, she's the biggest piece of shit.
You know what?
And the funny thing is, oh, they're going to call me her family's going to call me the biggest piece of shit. Not with Exhibit A rolling in the background.
Well, you know, there's also the possibility it could have been at the rehearsal dinner, but there would have been a much smaller audience.
No. If you're going to do it right.
You're going to do it. Go big or go home.
I got to respect this guy. Now, I don't like the fact if he did abuse her.
Oh, no. Then, I mean, yeah, that was a little one throwaway line of speculation. If he did abuse her, then he's a scumbag. But then they're both really awful people.
Yeah, she's still worse.
Yeah.
She's still worse?
She's still worse because of what she did to her sister.
Yeah, she didn't have to hurt her sister in the bargain.
People lose that. Bad guy. Yeah. Bad guy. You know, you shouldn't go around smacking anybody. Go around smacking women.
No.
She's still worse, though, because she did her pregnant sister dirty.
You know what?
And of course the brother-in-law is a piece of crap, too.
Of course.
But we're not expecting... Our expectations of men are not that high. You can't... Now, maybe it's a bad sister. I guess. I don't know.
But you know, it's so low to be banging him when she's pregnant.
And they had a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it led up to this.
Yeah.
I'm sure, he tripped and fell into her.
Several times.
They kept trying to get up and falling down. You know, things are slippery.
Yeah.
Who left that banana peel by the side of the bed?
Oh, awful. I think that's, as far as displays of spite, chef's kiss.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
This is a really good one.
I told you guys, I had this last week, and I just had to sit on it.
It was so worth reconstituting, this was great.
If only I found it in 2019, I could have used this as a love fail. I would have won hands down. I don't know if I won. I probably won, but maybe I didn't win in 2019. Whoever had this story in 2019, but she made her drink bleach. No. This is the one.
This is very creative.
Yeah, but... Oh, well. All right, let's do Drunks in the News. Let's do...
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
Okay. Well, as you guys know, it's been a long time since we've done a Drunks in the News. But we like to start with our Benjamin Franklin drinking term.
Yes.
Founding father had synonyms for being drunk. As it turns out, a very appropriate one for the week, for the show that we are doing.
Huh.
This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term for being drunk. His flag is out.
Oh, very appropriate for this week.
I tell you, that gig that you did at the pool must have looked like the United Nations.
Well, Joe, there was a lot of saluting. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
A lot of poles.
All right. A traumatized man claims he was offered up as a human sacrifice against his will. The shocking incident purportedly occurred during the Mother Earth Festival in El Alto, Bolivia on August 1st. Victor Hugo Mica Alvarez, 30, was a guest at the annual event where indigenous groups gather to worship the goddess... Motherfucker.
The goddess motherfucker.
The goddess motherfucker.
That is a very ancient goddess.
The goddess... Pacamama. Okay, we'll go with Pacamama.
Sure.
By making offerings to her. Alvarez alleges that he was drinking heavily during the festival and subsequently passed out. Hours later, he awoke with the urge to urinate, only to realize he was lying inside a glass coffin covered with dirt. We'd gone dancing, Alvarez told the local media, according to Jam Press. The only thing I remember is that I thought I was in my bed and I got up to pee and I couldn't move anymore. I thought a fat chick was on me. When I pushed the coffin, I barely broke the glass. And through the glass, dirt began to enter. Alvarez harrowingly claimed, but I managed to get out. I had been buried. According to Metro, once Alvarez gained his bearings, he realized he had been transported to Achacachi, about 50 miles from where he had been drinking at the start of the festival. Cops, however, were not buying his wild story. The officers allegedly told the terrified man that he was still drunk and ordered him to head home and sober up. But Alvarez insists he's not a hoaxer and immediately shared his story with the local media. Pictures taken by the press show him looking bloodied and bruised in the aftermath of his alleged escape. Meanwhile, Metro has reported that Alvarez has no doubts that he was offered up as a human sacrifice to Pachamama, declaring they wanted to use me as Sulu. Of course they did. The publication claims that a Sulu is in any item offered up to the goddess, with sweets, medicinal plants, eggs, and minerals commonly handed over. All right, do we buy this guy's story?
They handed over an offering of a drunk guy instead of the sweets and the other things.
Yeah, but his blood, why wouldn't you, though? I mean, listen, you come with a guy's a guy.
But it seems like it's escalated quickly.
What do you mean?
Well, they usually offer up things like sweets and tiny presents and
No, I mean, no, there's been human sacrifice. We don't know these Bolivians.
Oh, no, there has been a human sacrifice, but according to the article, these are the normal things. A little bit of fruit, some nuts, you know, a little incense maybe. No, they bring a drunk dead guy, or half-dead guy, to offer up.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to find guys that's drunk that often, you know. I believe them.
I wonder about the coffin with the view, though. Why did it have to be a glass coffin?
Yeah, you want to see what's coming. You know.
But he didn't.
You don't want to pack a mama look. You know, she wants to go, do I want to eat him? Do I not want to eat him? You know. She don't want a surprise.
She wants to see what's on the menu first.
Sure. Sure. It's like when you pick your own lobster. The lobster's in a tank.
That's true.
See? They don't put a lobster in a dark box where nobody sees. You pick what you want. Why doesn't Pacamama get you the same fucking courtesy? You go in with your stupid, oh, I have an appetite. I want a sea crustacean. You get to pick. Why doesn't a goddess? How dare you?
I know. Well, the sneeze guard over the salad bar allows me to see what I'm going to dive into.
Exactly.
I get it now.
Okay,
you're
good.
Right.
I am right. I'm absolutely absolutely right. How dare you? Street Pacamama.
I don't know which way to turn on this, you know? It's like stranger things have happened. So I don't know. I'm not really sure if I can call bullshit. I feel bad for him if he's right because everybody else called bullshit on him.
He's Otis the town drunk. This always happens to him.
Yeah, every other day he's coming home. He's bathed in all kinds of colors, and he's sacrificed to something else. He always manages to get his way home.
You know what? Maybe Pacamama likes it, like a nice sautéed sacrifice.
Pickled.
Pickled, yes, pickled. That's better. I mean, it's possible he woke up in a coffin. Again, stranger things have happened. Maybe they thought he was dead.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it could be bullshit, but I've heard stories that are true that are, you know, more weird than that, you know?
Sure, you used to live it every weekend.
It's not beyond the realm of possibility. It just begs the question, why didn't they find out who thought he was dead and put him in a glass coffin?
Because they don't believe him.
Right, I know. But and it does, you do wonder, why did they think because he was drunk, he was dead, and they buried him 50 miles away? Wouldn't you just dig a hole right where you are?
Have you ever had a story, something that happened to you, and which is the God's honest truth, but sounds so far-fetched, you don't know if you want to say anything because people are going to call bullshit on you?
I'll give you an example. Like, there was this one time I did a show after 3 hours of comedy at the side of a pool for a nudist colony, and there was a dildo race.
And if I tell a story, no fucking way. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, you did it. You know, let me tell you something. You did it for content. You know, as a great story. It was a great hour of the story. But I don't. You know, if you explain it to somebody else, you know, or maybe if like you're sitting at the table at the diner and there's a couple of new guys that you just met at a gig and you told that story, you know, a couple of these new guys, this guy's full of shit. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
They don't know all you know the antics that you've had. You know, yeah, and then you hear the story. Oh, the guy's fucking.
By the way, Joe, I would contend now that with the Bix story and with this story, I have the two best diner stories. Let's go get some cheese fries.
Yeah, really. So,
I am ready for a gyro. It's coffee. Let's go.
That's why. You know, now I'm starting to tell the guys the story with Vic's gone because, you know, like I said, it was, and I told the story with you in total anonymity on it, but I go, it's just to, you know, you're at the diner, have a couple of drinks, everybody's telling the story, I go, I gotta throw this fucking story. it's fucking too good not to put into the pile, you know?
No one, yeah. Well, just driving here tonight, a couple blocks away, this big black cock was right in the middle of the road in front of me. It was a little black chicken crossing the road in front of me, but it happened.
But you want a big black cock. Okay.
I have never been so drunk where I could have been buried alive.
No, me neither.
Joe,
have you? Have you ever been so drunk that you could be buried alive, Joe?
Maybe. I'm a very sound sleeper. But there was one time, my buddy Mike used to work at the college, and they used to have this bar that was at the college. So I was off, you know, we used to get together on Thursday. I was off on Fridays sometimes. So I go to this thing, I party my ass off. And then I went to this girl's apartment. We didn't even fool around, but I wake up and I go, all right, I got to call the fence company. I have to go over this job with Gus, and then I got to take care of this. But first things first, where the hell am I? I don't know where I was.
All right.
Totally forgot. I go, how the fuck did I get here?
All right, let's take our final break. On the break, we got new music from Glassy with Fastlane and Deep Payment Rocco with On the Move, I Can't Let You Go. And you can learn more about those artists at khb-music.de. Last segment before we are off for a few weeks, do some scamming scammers and see what happens with Fake Davin and My Michelle. You never can tell.